Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful morning to be together as a family of God, to worship Him, to lift our hearts and our minds up to Him, and to remember His Son and the sacrifice that He made for us. It is important for us to have this time together. It is important for us to come together as a family, to share together, and to present ourselves before God Almighty. We have some special guests with us this morning from that are connected to the Hope for Haiti program. And Kent and Steve are here this morning, and they're sitting right back here. And so if you have some questions after the services this morning, they will be here. And Kent's wife is with him also, so I ask that take a moment to get to know them, let them know that how glad we are that they're here and a part of our worship today and presenting that work to us. We're going to take just a few minutes. There's a video on their website. It's an introduction to the work, and we're going to take a look at that, and then I'll share with you just a short lesson.
Haiti, two short hours from the U.S., but so far away from even the most basic of necessities that we enjoy every day. 80% of families live below the poverty line, with the impact especially felt in Haiti's children, which make up half of the population. There are thousands of orphans in Haiti, many of whom end up on the street, hungry, homeless, and without a caring family. Due to the cost of education, parents struggle to send their children to school. This results in only half of Haiti's elementary-age children in school, with just 20% attending high school. Recognizing these challenges, volunteers from Churches of Christ partnered with Haitian congregations and trusted Christian leaders in 1995 to launch Hope for Haiti's Children, or HFHC. HFHC's mission is to demonstrate Christian compassion to poverty-bound Haitian children and their families, providing opportunities for these children to become outstanding leaders in their homes, churches, and communities. Locally operated by in-country educators and community leaders, HFHC accomplishes its mission by nurturing, educating, and training leaders for tomorrow, making a difference one child at a time. To care for orphan children, HFHC operates two Christian orphanages, one in the Cazaux neighborhood of Port-au-Prince and the other an hour and a half drive northeast in Tamazo. Loving caretakers in these orphanages provide the children with food, clean water, clothing, housing, and medical care. Hope for Haiti's Children has partnered with local Churches of Christ to form 10 Christian schools, which educate more than 2,500 children. Many of these children are only able to attend school thanks to HFHC's Child Education Sponsorship Ministry. This program connects a child in need with a sponsor in the United States. A unique aspect of this ministry is that 100% of the funds are used in Haiti to help the children. To develop outstanding leaders, HFHC hosts Christian leadership camps, which includes Bible classes, devotionals, discussion groups, and recreational activities for Haitian teens to encourage and equip them to become mature Christian leaders in their communities. Many teens have decided to trust in God and have been baptized into Christ. For younger children, HFHC's Bible memorization program teaches God's Word in all HFHC schools. Children receive awards each year for their outstanding memorization efforts. HFHC's continuing education scholarships have assisted promising adults to learn important skills in English fluency, computer technology, carpentry, and tailoring. The end result is transformed lives. HFHC-trained children have become Christian ministers, principals, teachers, master carpenters, and nurses. These young people are now establishing Christian homes and serving in their local church and community. For more than 20 years, Hope for Haiti's Children has been a trusted partner for individuals, churches, and organizations to truly make an eternal difference, one child at a time.
Steve and Kent did a great job at presenting even more information in class this morning, and we believe that it's a very worthy work, and we want you to know that, and we want you to keep that in your prayers and open up your hearts. The silver box that we use in times like this is sitting on the green table back there. And so if you can give and help in that way, then you'll have that opportunity this morning. We're going to take a look at Luke chapter 5 in just a minute, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 5. I wanted to mention also that Greg is with us here today, and he is getting ready to take several of our members to Europe to spend some time with one of our missionaries that we support there. And so please keep Greg and that group in your prayers also. Also, another way for you to reach to them, and I'm sure that some of them could use a little bit of financial help in that area also. This is such a generous congregation, and you have been so good to reach out to people in need and places in need, and your hearts continue to pour out beyond measure. And I want to tell you that I am blessed as a minister to you, and Elliot and I have talked about it so many times. How good it is to be a part of this church family in Sand Springs. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know that it's an incredible consideration. And we are blessed as a family to be here together. Into the deep. Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11 is what we're going to take a look at. On one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish and that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything. They left everything and followed him. Would you pray with me quickly? Mighty God and Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the incredible opportunity to set ourselves before your throne, to lift to you praises and song that you alone are worthy of. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to remember your Son and his sacrifice that you gave him in. Father, to proclaim that we believe and that we are your children. Father, this morning, open our hearts and our minds as we take another opportunity to try to transform into something greater than we have been in the past. As we renew our minds and step away from the conformity of the world. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you just a few short thoughts this morning, but I want to start in this manner. Several months ago, my two sons had the opportunity to do a zip line, right? And we were at this big zip line, and they put on these harnesses on the boys, and I won't tell you which one of them, but one of them is really afraid of heights. You know, it makes him very, very nervous. And they put on these harnesses and they take them out. And we were at a church camp, actually, setting. And they had this huge tower, and I'm not so sure about the young people who were really helping the crowd, you know, that was there to do the zip line. And because they have this big tower, and there's little platforms that stick out of the front of the tower. Now, if I get this wrong, you'll correct me, right?
Yep.
See, I knew Preston would. And so they told them to step out onto the platform. Right, it's a long ways to the ground. This is a big drop. I'm not doing it. Notice I didn't say my boys and I, right? My boys. And so they go together, and I'm proud of the one who's has a little fear of heights, kind of like me, you know. And they step out onto the platform before they hook them to the line. Yeah, exactly my thought. I'm thinking, my goodness, am I fixing to lose a son right here, you know. But it didn't happen. Thank you, Lord. And they hook them on, and they're standing there. And so this young lady says, go. And you know what my boys did? Nothing. They looked at each other and looked at her and said, which one of us? And she said, both of you. And so they looked at each other again, and here they went. And dad's at the other end videoing, right? But to find the courage to step out to do something that is beyond ourselves, right? To make some of the trips that we talked about as a congregation, to take a look at the work at Haiti, to step out into the deep is an important thing for us as God's children to find the opportunity to do. Some things that I think that are really important about these verses. One is people will always search for and need Jesus in their lives. And when there is an opportunity to teach, people will come. For he has said the harvest is white and ready to be brought in, right? All we have to do is open our eyes to be able to see that opportunity that lies before us. By the power of His Word and His love, lives begin to change. They begin to become transformed, to leave the conformity of the world, the pattern that we see repeated over and over and over again, to failure. But to renew our minds and step forward, to begin to know and understand, to test and approve what God's will is for us in our lives. And to begin to share that with the lost, with those that we come into contact with. So that when they rise in the morning, even in lack, that they can put a smile on their face and know that my God has a plan for me. There will be those who will not have the courage to push into the deep. You have to wonder, why Simon? Because he knew that Simon was going to say, okay, Lord. And sometimes it's not always easy, is it? Because there are things that we are challenged to do sometimes we don't want to be a part of. Right? I hate cold, cold mornings if I have to take out the trash. But I'm going to do it anyway. Well, at least one of the boys is going to do it. But we all get into things that we don't want to do, don't we? And Simon was tired and worn out. See, if you know a good Christian fisherman, he's going to fish in the middle of the night. Right? Sometime. My brother was one of those guys. And only thing is, we always came back like Simon without anything except for mosquito bites. And I thought, why in the world are we fishing at night? And one time I heard him say, well, Luke chapter 5, and I thought, does he not realize they didn't catch anything? All right, Lord, because you say so, we will put into the deep. And those who do will reap an incredible reward. Because we know that the fish were so many that the nets began to break, didn't they? They began to tear. And they called to their partners, the sons of Zebedee, and they came out. And they began to fill the boats till they begin to sink. And I think about my own life and my own experiences. The times that I've been able to travel overseas to mission fields and what I reaped from those. This year, matter of fact, many of you met a young man that I baptized 24 years ago when this congregation gave me money to make a trip overseas. And now he's the preacher who is leading that work in Ukraine. And I think about the emails and the messages that we send back and forth and how we can stay in contact with each other's lives. And I think about what he's doing and the challenges that he's facing and how it's been a blessing to me to see someone in his circumstances struggling and overcoming and living a life that is godly and devoted to Jesus Christ. Because when we teach Jesus, it changes lives. And it's the same way with the group that's fixing to head overseas and the work that is being done in Haiti. How can we as a people be devoted to the change of lives through Jesus Christ? And we have to stop and think about all the blessings that He has given to us. How often do we really do things like give up at Coca-Cola or Diet Dr. Pepper or Starbucks so that we can take a few? Yeah, I see somebody put their hand on their chest. I'm going to tell you. She'll be like, oh, that hurts. To give it up so we can say, you know what? There's going to be some gentlemen here from Haiti this weekend, and I'm going to take that money and I'm sending it to change a life in Haiti. I may not be able to be there to teach, to affect personally, but I can affect indirectly. To share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives and begins blessings beyond measure to flow into our lives and their lives to the point that the nets will fill and begin to break. And God has given us that opportunity to share that together. Those around us will take notice when things like this begin to change our lives. On Monday morning when you walk into the office or the classroom, teenagers, or whatever, you know, and the subject will come up sometime eventually, and you can say, no, I don't have any money to do that because I sent mine last weekend to Haiti. To feed and educate a child. Really? You did what? Let me tell you about what the Lord is being able to do through my little small gifts. And it will begin to affect your life as you transform yourself to become more like Jesus Christ. If you've been out of the country as a part of a mission effort, I want you to stand. Stand right now. If you have been out of this country, overseas, as a mission effort, stand, please. Thank you. We can use more. We can do more. We can make a difference in lives here at home and overseas. We've got to ask ourselves these questions, though. Where will He take us? Where will He take you? What will He do with you when you get there? And I've told you in the past, when Janine, my beautiful, wonderful wife of 27 years, you guys know I love. Thank you, brother. I wish somebody else would have said that too. It made me feel even better. When she convinced me to go to the Ukraine, I did not want to go. It took me a while to be ready for that. It might take you a while to be ready to go with Greg overseas or make a trip to Haiti, but you know what? The Lord will prepare you. Don't worry about what He will do. Worry about what you can do. That almost sounded like a statement from a past president, didn't it? If you don't know, come ask me. I'll share that with you later. How will your reactions affect those who are around you? Do you realize that you are a life changer? Not because of your own efforts, but because of the strength and the power of God that is at work within you. You can change lives. Do you have the courage to push out into the deep and begin to receive His rewards? That's really what it's all about. Do you have the courage to take that $10 in your pocket, and maybe it's the last $10 you think you have for this week, and give it today? Push out into the deep. Trust Him to return to you blessings beyond measure. Push out into the deep. Got to catch up with my notes here. This morning, we want you to know, if you're visiting here, that there are two things that normally occur at the end of the sermon. And guess what? This is the end of the sermon. Wasn't that fast? No amens? Come on, Ronald. One is, we give you the opportunity to unite your life with Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, so that you too might begin a new life in Him, that you will know the blessings of Jesus Christ. And two, those who are Christians have the opportunity to come forward and say, I just need prayers. And I'll tell you what that's like here if you're visiting. When one of our members comes to one of these front pews, you'll see these empty spots will fill. Because this is a family. And when one is hurting or needs, our family is hurting and in need. And we surround them to let them know that we love them and care for them. And we want them always to be a part. Let me share with you just some closing thoughts. As I was preparing this week, I wrote these out word for word because I wanted to be clear as I ended today. I challenge you to step out, to push out into the deep today. To give, to share with neighbors. To let them know about Jesus in your life. Or to drop a few dollars in the box for the work in Haiti. Or to Greg. Your soul may be filled with worry or fear to the point that you have lost control of your life and that courage is almost impossible to find. Days come and days go and something has blinded you. Maybe something has hit you and blindsided you. The one thing you thought that maybe you would never have to deal with came rushing into your life like a burning desert wind to bring destruction and doubt about who our Savior is. Your weakness may be great, and no one would blame you if you were to lay down in the dark and cry yourself to sleep. Or if you found some time to drive a lonely road searching for peace. It may be that today you're one of those who have tried to hide your unbelief behind hymns and praises on Sunday morning and smiles between brothers and sisters that you know very little about. But each sunrise, it becomes harder and harder to hide from the fear that I'm no longer in control and I don't know what tomorrow brings. Brother, sister, friend, take heart. Today is the day. This is the hour. This is the minute. This is the time. This building, this family, this future is the place where honesty and truth begin. Because in this place, at this time, with these people, is where you can begin to build a future that will bring blessings, that will tear apart your nets. This is where broken hearts begin to mend. It's where death becomes life. Why? Why here? Because when death and fear, listen closely, when death and fear come face to face with the power of Jesus, it is life changing. It is a step beyond the weakness of ourselves. He gives us the place. He gives us the place to lay our burdens down. And He shows us the way. The way to a place in life where courage is restored, strength is renewed, and victory comes into focus once again. Let Him show you the way. Let Him help you lay down your fear and push into the deep. Emotionally, spiritually, financially, give it all to Him. And the deep of His blessings and love will fill you to overflowing. This morning, let this family help you take that step. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
As the deer thirsts for the waters, Lord, so my soul runs after You. My soul.